Hey guys, it's Tim Freund. Thanks for tuning in to the realestateconversation.com, my blog and my podcast. If you weren't aware of this prior to today, obviously I have a blog, which I do a lot of writing on, and I have a podcast where I've got a number of conversations that we've had. Thus, the Real Estate Conversation is the name, and we talk about real estate. In fact, I was just reviewing, kind of rereading some old blogs I wrote. It goes back over a decade, by the way. So if you're curious, what I thought was happening in 2010 and 2011, I just read a bunch from 2012, just before the market was going to explode. And I mean, I was spot on. I gave great advice to my clients. My clients made a ton of money. By and large, my clients made a ton of money by reading the Real Estate Conversation, if they did, and following my advice. But anyway, that's what I do. And so I want to share some of that with you. And today's purpose is to talk about, should I buy or should I not buy a home in this red hot sizzling market of 2021? And the first thing you have to ask yourself is, why do you want to buy a house? I mean, it's really that simple. Why do you want to buy a house? If the answer is, well, I'm having a family, I'm starting a family, or I'm in an apartment and my rent keeps going up, or I'm in an apartment and it's too small, or I need a yard, or I want to get a dog. I mean, you know, think about why you want to get a home, all right? It's a big purchase, and it's an important decision because a home purchase, this is an illiquid asset. It's not easily liquidated, and it costs money to sell. So in many parts of the country where appreciation is kind of scant, they actually have to pay to sell their home. They actually pay. They don't make money. They pay to sell their home. So in California, we have had the benefit of decades of appreciation. And at the prices that you pay here to live in California, you sure hope you're going to get some appreciation, some capital gain there. So coming back to the illiquidity, you don't want to buy a home if you're not going to be in a home for very long, right? This isn't an apartment. So you want to think that one through. Also, you need to ask yourself, you know, how stable are you, right? I mean, are you starting a family? Is your job good? Is it a job that's going to take you to Chicago or to Washington DC or to Atlanta or Seattle? And you know, what's going to happen? And if that's the case, you have to ask yourself, well, how long am I going to be here? So it comes back to that illiquidity of the asset. Now, one of the things that we talk about a lot is, you know, the leverage of buying a home, right? You buy a home, you put down, you know, 5%, 10%, 20%, and then the value of the asset is going to appreciate as the aggregate, the whole is going to go up. In other words, if I have a $500,000 house, $500,000 house, and I put 10% down, I put $50,000 down, if my home goes up 5%, it's going up $50,000. If my $50,000 went up 10% in the stock market, I made $5,000. So that is leverage because you're getting the appreciation on the whole. Now, conversely, if the market should decline, same thing happens. Market goes down 10%. You're not losing $5,000. You're losing $50,000. So there is the possibility of declining value. But let's ask yourself this question. When do you lose money in real estate? How can you lose money in a home that you live in where you have to live somewhere? You have to pay to live somewhere. So how do you lose money? And the answer is you buy high and you are forced or compelled to sell at a lower price. So if you don't have to sell, do you lose money? No, you don't. Do you continue to build equity? Yes, you're paying down your mortgage. If you do that for 30 years, you're going to own that house. So you don't lose money unless you have to sell. Now, the people that lost in the last recession suffered economic catastrophe, right? We had this huge drop in real estate values for a variety of reasons, and we can talk about that maybe a little bit later. But you lost your job, and all of a sudden you couldn't make the payment anymore. So that's a big issue. But one of the things that we've noticed here is that rents have really, really gone up a lot. I mean, rents, it's expensive to rent a home in California, particularly in the metropolitan areas or the suburbs of the metropolitan areas. And so, you know, you're going to be buying a home, you're going to be making a payment. How different is that from the rent you'd be paying otherwise? So there's a security in owning your home and being able to build equity and make a payment that's kind of like almost a forced savings account, right? You're putting money into the equity of your home, paying down that mortgage. So I think it's important that you recognize you only lose when you sell. So then can you really time the market? right? You can't. It's just like the stock market. You can't time the stock market. You know, maybe you buy it low, maybe you buy it high, maybe the stock goes way up and you didn't anticipate it, like Tesla, right? Something like that. I mean, who knew Bitcoin? So sure, there are some people that are just super lucky and, you know, recognize values, or some people have the inside scoops on certain things and are able to, you know, take advantage of opportunities. But I mean, honestly, most of us sort of just go through the process of financial investment, go through the process of home buying based on our needs, based on our available capital. And so when you talk about real estate, you have to ask yourself those questions. Why do I want to move? Why do I want a home? What is the reason for it? And how do I lose money? Okay, so let's talk about losing money. All right, I mean, that's really what everybody's afraid of, right? If I buy high, I'm going to lose money, right? Interest rates are as low as they will ever be. I mean, you can't get below, you know, 2% on a fixed rate mortgage. You can't get much below 3% on a fixed rate mortgage. And even if you do get a little bit below, when at the bottom, I think somebody could get like 2.5%. So maybe it's 3.25% now. I mean, this is really inexpensive money. So you're going to buy a home using very inexpensive money. And in return, you're going to get to live in that home, which is a pretty awesome thing. And you're going to have to ask yourself, if the prices drop and I don't have to sell, I still have a super low interest rate, so the cost of that money is super cheap. And by the way, you know, as a rough pencil sketch, every 1% is equivalent to a payment of about 10% in value. So if your home, if you get an interest rate at 3% and your home is a $500,000 home, your home would have to go down $50,000 in value to equal the same payment if your home interest rate went to 4%. Let me restate that. If the interest rate goes to 4% and values were the same, it costs more money. If interest rates are 4% and your drop in value is $50,000 or 10%, it's the same as buying it today at 3%. So that's why, you know, the downside risk is relatively small because interest rates are so historically low. So there's a big upside to buying right now. And there is always the possibility of losing money, right? You lose your job. There's a family catastrophe. There's a medical emergency. You get transferred. You know, these are things that can happen. Do you have to sell your home? Not necessarily. I mean, think about it. If you got transferred to DC and you're upside down in your home by some amount of money, and I'm really taking sort of the negative contrarian approach here, but if you're upside down in your home, and you get transferred to DC, do you have to sell your home? No. Someone has to continue to make the payment. So maybe you rent that home. And even if you can't rent it for what your payment is, okay, so you've got an added obligation, which you're going to budget for, whether it's $200 or $300 or $1,000 a month, whatever that loan differential is between what you rent your home for and what your payment is, that's at issue. So you don't lose if you don't sell. You know, there's the old adage, right? Mark Twain, buy real estate because God ain't making any more. You know, having a piece of real estate and having a piece of real estate in a place like California, you look historically at the values of the prices of real estate in California. Boy, sure wish you would have bought in 1987 when you were 6 months old. So you don't lose money if you don't sell. And you think about what would make the market collapse anyway. What could happen, right? Well, we know in the Great Recession what happened was there were people who were not qualified getting very large mortgages, right? I had a housekeeper, and her husband was a gardener, and she came to me and she says, "Mr. Tim, I'm not going to my husband wants to buy a home, but we're not going to be using you because he wants someone who speaks Spanish." I totally get it, right? I don't speak Spanish. I barely speak English. So they went and bought a home. And they bought a home with the mortgage broker and the agent working in cahoots. They bought off market. They bought a home that had been sitting in the hottest market ever until this market. They bought a home for $630,000 that had been listed for $600,000 and didn't sell in the hottest market. So obviously they got a zero down. They got, you know, $30,000 back for furniture. They completely got taken advantage of, unfortunately. She comes to me 6 months later. She says, my husband's out of work. He's injured himself, and we really want to keep our home. Which should I pay, the mortgage or the taxes? And, you know, that was a terrible situation. She had no business buying a home. They didn't have the income to buy a $600,000 home. I mean, and especially back then, because rates were, you know, what, in the fives or something, sixes? So just a really unfortunate situation. And there were lots of these situations. People overextended. There was, you know, people that were getting cash back, like I said, she did. And, you know, just a lot of problems with the lending industry. But by and large, those problems have been remedied. So the people that are buying homes today are actually qualified for the most part. They really are. You are. And so you want to buy a house today, you got to prove you make the money and you got to have some kind of a down payment. You don't have 0% down. So you do have FHA at 3.5%. But that's still, you've got insurance and there's a whole bunch of things that factor into there. So the collapse then was a negligent behavior and predatory behavior by lenders and mortgage personnel, okay, and people taking advantage of the system. This is a lot different, right? This is strictly a supply and demand issue. We have high demand because millennials are coming into buying homes. We have seniors who are not selling their homes because they have nowhere to go. Obviously, during the pandemic, that's even more acute because they don't want to move during the middle of a pandemic and they don't want to go to an assisted care facility. You've got a lack of building because of the Great Recession. There's a shortage of building. We've got these tariffs and all this stuff that's driving up the cost of building. So there's a lot of things that are factoring into why this market is so hot. And the question is, well, what's going to make it change? Right? What's going to change? Now, the main thing that most people focus on, and myself, I put myself in this category, is going to be interest rates. As interest rates rise, affordability declines. Right? It just said that right earlier. If your rates go up 1%, it's like getting a 10% more expensive home, basically. So, what's going to make rates go up? What makes rates go up? Well, there is a connection between what the Federal Reserve charges banks and their overnight lending rates and the 10-year treasury bond, what that's selling for. So the Fed sets policy on what banks can borrow money at, and loosely connected is what the 10-year treasury sells for. There's some sort of a tether there. It's, you can't see it. Somebody knows what it is, but you couldn't tell me exactly what the ratio is between the 10-year and the Federal Reserve, Federal Funds rate or whatever. But the 10-year bond is linked to mortgages. So as the 10-year bond yield rises, gets more expensive, better return on that 10-year bond, rates follow, right? So rates would go up when the 10-year bond goes up. So why does the 10-year bond go up? Well, bond traders hedge against inflation. They're concerned about inflation. They don't want to hold a bond 1%. 10 years, for 10 years, make 1%, when in 6 months they can make 1.25%. So as you think about that, you go, well, okay, so the rates go up because of a hedge against inflation. All right. We know things are costing more money. We know the tariffs have driven up costs. We know the supply and demand issue in real estate has driven up costs. We know that, you know, pretty much anything costs more, and that is inflation. Is that a concern? Well, clearly the federal government and Federal Reserve is concerned about that. They have a targeted inflation rate of 2%. That means their stated goal is, we want to have inflation around 2%. And when inflation exceeds 2%, that tends to lead the Federal Reserve to adjust interest rates higher to slow down inflation. Why aren't they doing that now? Well, because of the pandemic, they want to keep the economy going, so they're goosing the economy with super low interest rates. They want to keep as many people as employed as possible. We certainly don't want greater unemployment than we already have now, which is, I think, hovering around 6%, and have people on the streets and, you know, pandemic, and it's just, right? You can see why their incentive is there. But there's another underlying thing. It's not really inflation as a whole that the Federal Reserve is concerned about. If the Federal Reserve is concerned about wage inflation, that means we're making a lot more money. And if they got to pay a lot more money for labor, employers have to pay a lot more money for labor, that really starts to, that will goose inflation. And that will lead to the Federal Reserve to take action. The wage inflation has been negative since the 80s. Since the Reaganomics tax cuts in the 80s. People have been making less money. You know, we know the billionaires are making more, but the average worker is making less per hour, equivalent, adjusted for inflation, than what people were making in the 80s. So wage inflation is suppressed. Why is wage inflation suppressed? Because of globalization, right? If I can go get something made in India or Vietnam or Indonesia, that's going to cost, you know, $1 a day labor versus, you know, $100 a day labor. There you go, right? That's what's happening. So that's keeping a cap on inflation and then wage inflation. So the question is, what's going to make our real estate market, I'm bringing this full circle back to the real estate market, what's going to make the real estate market collapse? What's going to make prices drop? Well, it's going to have to be a demand issue, right? Because we know supply is tight and supply is not going to increase dramatically. It will increase as fewer people can buy. That's demand. Right? So what causes demand to drop? Well, higher interest rates, higher cost to borrow. That's going to make demand drop. So it's kind of a cycle, but it's hard to lose money in real estate if you don't sell it. And long term, it's hard to lose money in real estate, period. Great wealth has been built on owning real estate. So should you buy in this market? If you have a stable job, if you are committed to where you're living, if you have a growing family, if you need a different home, if your apartment is too small, if you need additional rooms, right? All of these reasons are reasons why, yes, you should look to buying a home. Is it a great investment long term? Yes. Is it the best investment? Yes, probably is. I mean, 30 years ago, what was real estate? 30 years from now, what will real estate be when you pay off your mortgage? I mean, seriously, can you imagine a lower value, like our population is somehow shrinking? Jesus, if the pandemic hasn't shrunk our population, nothing will. So this is Tim Freund. I hope I gave you some things to think about there. I gave you a lot of economics. I apologize. I get wonky on that. And of course, these are just my opinion. You know, you could talk to Chairman Powell at the Federal Reserve and he might argue otherwise, but I don't think he would. So Tim Freund, reach me out on the web. Find me. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate you guys. You know, it's an honor to be able to help and to share information. Of course, I do sell real estate in and along the Ventura County and LA County lines. I work the city of Los Angeles. I work in Ventura County. So give me a call if I can help you or someone you care about buy a piece or sell a piece of real estate. Because by God, it is a great time to sell. Thank you so much. It's Tim Freund. I look forward to hearing from you guys really soon in the future. Take care.